All right, buckle up, everybody, because today we're diving deep into a classic contract law case that really shows how important the details are. We're talking Ramirez v. Autosport.
Oh, Ramirez v. Autosport, a New Jersey Supreme Court decision, right?
That's the one. And it's all about the Uniform Commercial Code, you know, the UCC.
Yeah, of course the UCC.
And what happens when things go south in a sale? Think of it like a real-world lesson in how buyers and sellers should or shouldn't interact with each other.
And a reminder to read the fine print. Always read the fine print.
Oh, absolutely. Always read the fine print.
What gets me about Ramirez v. Autosport is how it throws you right into this tricky balance between perfect tender, which basically means you get exactly what you paid for.
Right.
And the seller's right to fix any problems, you know? It's something anyone listening could easily find themselves dealing with one day.
Absolutely. It's like that feeling of finally getting that new car, that new phone you ordered, and then bam, it's not quite right.
Ugh, the worst.
In this case, we're going back in time to 1978. Picture this. The Ramirez's, excited as can be, are about to pick up their brand new camper van from Autosport.
Nice.
They've even traded in their old van, got a $4,700 allowance for it. The big day arrives and, well, things aren't as perfect as they hoped.
Uh-oh.
To say the least. This van was a mess. Scratches everywhere, parts missing, important stuff not even installed. Like, it was bad.
Yikes. Sounds like a disaster.
It was so bad, in fact, that even the Autosport salesperson told them to walk away.
Wow, if that's not a red flag, I don't know what is.
Right, you'd think that would be the end of it, right?
Yeah, you'd think.
But hold on, the story takes a turn because of that perfect tender rule we talked about earlier.
Ah, yes, perfect tender.
How does that actually, you know, play into all of this?
Okay, so the UCC, it's pretty straightforward on this. If what you get doesn't perfectly match what's in the contract, the buyer can say no deal.
Okay.
Sounds strict, and it can be, but it's there to protect buyers from getting stuck with something that's not what they signed up for.
So the Ramirez has had every way to say, nope, this isn't what we agreed to.
Exactly. But here's where the UCC gets really interesting.
Okay, I'm listening.
It gives sellers a chance to make things right, you know, a right to cure, as they call it.
Right to cure. Yeah.
They have a reasonable amount of time to fix what's wrong and make the buyer happy.
Makes sense. It wouldn't be fair to punish a seller for every little scratch, right?
Right.
But in the Ramirez case, things didn't exactly go smoothly on that front, did they?
Not exactly.
Tell me Autosport didn't just try to slap some paint on that van and call it a day.
Oh, they tried to fix it, all right. But their attempts, they were a comedy of errors. Weeks went by, the Ramirez's kept coming back in that van. It was never truly ready. One time, the paint was still wet.
Oh, no.
Another time, the windows were left open, the interior was soaked. It seemed like every time they tried to fix it, they just made it worse.
That's rough. It sounds like a total nightmare for the Ramirez's, especially because they were already without their old van.
Oh, right, the trade-in.
They traded in their old van as part of the deal, right?
They did, and that becomes a very crucial detail in this whole case.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
See, Autosport didn't just hold on to their old van. They went ahead and sold it.
Wait a minute, they sold the trade-in before they even gave them a working camper van?
Yep.
That's a bold move. What were they thinking?
It's definitely something that raised eyebrows in the courtroom. The whole situation, you know, the messed up camper van, the missing trade-in, the botched attempts to fix it.
Yeah, yeah.
It all ends up in court. In this case, it goes all the way to the New Jersey Supreme Court.
Wow.
And it's their decision that makes Ramirez v. Autosport such a landmark case in understanding the UCC.
So we've got frustrated buyers, a seller who, well, let's just say they made some questionable choices, a missing trade-in, and a legal battle. What happens next? Did the courts help Autosport out of this mess, or did they say, hey, the Ramirez's have rights here?
Ooh, good question.
We'll find out in part two of this deep dive, so don't go anywhere. All right, welcome back, everyone. Picking up where we left off, the Ramirez's, remember, stuck with a camper van that's more lemon than vehicle, their trade-in gone, and frustration levels through the roof, and Autosport. Well, every time they tried to fix things, it seemed like they just dug themselves deeper. So did the courts throw Autosport a lifeline, or did they uphold the rights of the buyers?
Well, the New Jersey Supreme Court, they ultimately sided with the Ramirez's.
Interesting.
But it's the why, the reasoning behind their decision, that makes this case so important.
Okay, so spill it. What was it about this specific situation that made the Supreme Court say, yep, the Ramirez's got a raw deal here?
So the court's decision, it really boils down to three main points.
All right, lay it on me.
First, they were like, that perfect tender rule, yeah, that's a thing. They basically reaffirmed it.
Right, the UCC, right. Goods got to match the contract perfectly.
Exactly. And remember, even those seemingly small things, the scratches, the missing parts, those were enough for the Ramirez's to say, no way, we're not taking this.
So it's not about being picky. It's about sticking to that fundamental agreement between buyer and seller.
100%. You promise a brand new camper van, you better deliver a brand new camper van.
Makes sense.
But as we discussed earlier, the UCC, it gives sellers that chance to fix things, right? The right to cure.
Yeah, the right to cure.
So did the court just ignore all of Autosport's attempts to fix that van?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. They did try, even if it was kind of a disaster each time.
They did try, and that takes us to the second big point the court made.
Okay.
They said, yeah, we see that Autosport tried to fix things, but they emphasized this. That right to cure, it's got to happen within a reasonable time.
Okay, reasonable time, right.
And in this case, the court basically said, nope, Autosport's delays, the constant mess-ups, that wasn't reasonable. They had weeks, and they just couldn't get it together.
So it's not just about trying, it's about actually trying and doing it in a timely manner. I guess what's reasonable probably depends on the situation, right?
For sure. A missing hubcap is a whole lot different than, you know, an engine that won't start.
Right.
So yeah, what exactly counts as a reasonable time? Well, it depends on the details of the case, but Ramirez, it shows us that sellers can't just keep buyers hanging.
No stringing people along. And then of course, there's the whole issue of the trade-in. I'm guessing that didn't help Autosport's case much.
You got it. That's the third crucial point the court focused on.
Okay.
Selling the Ramirez's trade-in before they had a working camper van. Major breach of contract. It made it look like they weren't really acting in good faith.
Yeah, it's almost like they were saying, we'll get you your van eventually, but in the meantime, we're going to make some money off your old one.
Yeah, not a good look.
No wonder the court sided with the Ramirez's. But what did that actually mean for them? What did the court order?
So because Autosport had messed up so badly, the court said the Ramirez's could just cancel the whole contract.
Makes sense.
And since their trade-in was long gone, they couldn't get that back. So the court said, all right, we'll give you the fair market value of that old van.
How'd they figure out that value, though? Did they have to get, like, a car expert to assess it even though it was already sold?
This is interesting. They actually used the original contract itself as evidence.
Oh, okay.
They awarded the Ramirez's that $4,700 trade-in allowance that was agreed on in the beginning.
Ah, smart. Use what's already there to make sure the buyers are treated fairly.
Exactly. It really highlights this core principle of the UCC. It's about fairness, protecting both buyers and sellers.
Right.
And in this case, the court saw that the Ramirez's had gotten a bad deal, and they used the UCC to make things right.
So we've seen how the court took the UCC and applied it to the specifics of the Ramirez case. But why does this case still matter today? It happened decades ago. What makes it a landmark decision?
Well, Ramirez v. Autosport is considered a landmark case for a few reasons.
Okay.
Firstly, it really clarifies that perfect tender rule. It might sound strict, but the case shows that it's not about expecting sellers to be absolutely perfect. Small defects, they're okay, as long as the seller gets a reasonable chance to fix them.
It's about finding that middle ground, right? Protecting buyers from getting stuck with something faulty, but also realizing that everyone makes mistakes and sellers deserve a chance to make things right.
Exactly. And that brings us to the second reason Ramirez is so important.
Okay.
It underscores the importance of that reasonable time for cure. What's reasonable? Well, it depends, but this case, it makes it clear that sellers can't just drag their feet.
Right.
They got to act quickly, genuinely try to fix the issue.
And if they don't, well, they risk losing the sale, maybe even having to pay damages. Just like Autosport.
Precisely. And that leads us to the third big takeaway from Ramirez. Good faith and fair deal. Autosport selling that trade-in before they fixed the new van, that really hurt them. Showed a lack of commitment to the agreement.
Yeah, it almost seems like they were trying to pull a fast one.
Yeah, and the court wasn't having it.
So Ramirez v. Autosport. Yeah, it's about contract law, but it's also about just basic fairness, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And it's still relevant today because it reminds us that even in simple transactions, things can go wrong. The UCC, it's there to help resolve those disputes fairly.
Great points. And I know there are even more practical lessons we can learn from this case, especially for those of us dealing with contracts all the time. So stay tuned for the last part of our deep dive where we'll explore those takeaways and how you can use Ramirez v. Autosport to protect yourself in your own dealings. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We're wrapping up our deep dive into Ramirez v. Autosport today. Really gotten into the weeds with this one, you know, the faulty camper van, the disappearing trade-in, and how the New Jersey Supreme Court used the UCC to, well, to try to make things right.
We saw how the court stood by that perfect tender rule, but also made it clear that the seller has the right to cure, you know, within reason.
Yeah, that's right. And it was Autosport's failure to cure, plus that whole thing with selling the Ramirez's trade-in that really sealed their fate. But let's switch gears a little bit. What does all this mean for our listeners? Whether you're a lawyer advising clients or just someone buying or selling something, Ramirez v. Autosport, has some lessons we can all take away, right?
Oh, absolutely. For sellers, the message is clear. Don't mess around. If a buyer rejects something because it's not right, you got to move fast to fix it.
No time to waste.
Exactly. No delays, no overpromising, and keep that buyer in the loop every step of the way.
It's like that saying, under-promise and over-deliver, right?
Exactly. Set realistic expectations, be upfront about what you can actually do, and show the buyer you're taking their concerns seriously.
Couldn't agree more. But what about from the buyer side? What can they learn from what happened to the Ramirez's?
Ramirez is a great reminder for buyers to know their rights. That perfect tender rule, it gives you some power, but it doesn't mean you can be unreasonable. The seller gets a chance to cure, so be ready to work with them, you know, give them a fair shot at fixing things.
So it's about making sure the contract is actually fulfilled, not trying to trap the seller. Any other practical tips that come to mind from this case, things that could save people from ending up in court?
Oh, definitely. Documentation, documentation, documentation. Both buyers and sellers keep good records of everything.
Everything.
Everything. The contract, any conversations about problems, attempts to fix those problems, delivery dates, everything.
GIA, right. Cover your...
Exactly. It can be a lifesaver if things go wrong.
It's like they say, a verbal contract isn't worth the paper it's written on. Having it all in writing that protects everyone.
Could agree more. And Ramirez v. Autosport, it also has something to say to the lawyers out there, you know, the ones drafting and reviewing contracts.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Make sure those sales contracts are clear about quality standards, how inspections and rejections work, and what a reasonable time frame is for fixing problems.
Be specific, right? So there's no room for misunderstanding later on.
Right. A little planning up front can save a lot of headaches down the road.
Well said. So we've talked about takeaways for buyers, sellers, even lawyers, but before we sign off, I want to leave everyone with one final thought, something to think about as you navigate the world of contracts and the UCC.
Okay, I'm all ears.
We've spent this whole deep dive talking about the legal side of Ramirez v. Autosport.
Right.
But what about the human side of it? Think about the Ramirez's, how disappointed they must have been. They were excited about their new camper van, and it turned into weeks of stress.
Yeah, good point. It's easy to get caught up in the legal stuff and forget about the real people involved.
Exactly. It shows how important empathy and good communication are in any transaction, even when we're talking about laws and contracts. So as you go forward with all this knowledge from Ramirez v. Autosport, remember to approach your dealings with a little understanding and a willingness to find solutions that work for everyone.
Couldn't have said it better myself. It's not always about winning or losing. Sometimes it's about finding a solution that everyone can live with.
Well said. And that brings us to the end of our deep dive into Ramirez v. Autosport. Hope you found it insightful, maybe even learned a thing or two.
As always, keep those questions coming. Let us know what topics you'd like us to tackle next. Until then, happy contracting.